Well, this morning I do want to invite you now to turn our attention individually and collectively to Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, as we focus this morning on the life of Elizabeth. Elizabeth. So let's read together or follow along as I read for us. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Thanks be to God. Let's pray. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have really, really enjoyed this year's Advent focus on the side persons, the side characters in the Christmas story. I hope that you've enjoyed it. I've learned so much from paying greater attention to people that I normally don't give much attention to. People like Simeon taught me about the ways God's call on our lives is not bound by any sort of age limit. I've been challenged to emulate Anna's relentless faith. And then last week, I realized that I have more, much more, of King Herod's pride and selfishness within me than I want to admit. It's been a great Advent, and it's been a challenging one, and it's not over yet. Before we get to the desserts that we will consume in the next 48 hours, I want to give you some overcooked steak that you're going to have to chew on for a little while longer. Because today, as we wrap up, I've just got one more question I want you to answer before Tuesday. And really, if I do a good job, or if the Spirit of God speaks through me enough or in spite of me well enough, I'm planning on this question haunting you for the full 12 days of Christmas. So here's the question. How will you welcome God this Christmas? How will you welcome God this Christmas? This is one of the questions that Elizabeth invites us into as we sit here less than 48 hours from Christmas morning. I'm so excited. 48 hours from now, what we'll be doing. But before then, or in the midst of that, in the days to come, the question remains, how will you welcome God this Christmas? Because Elizabeth welcomed God really, really well. And I'm learning, after studying her life and reading this passage and the passages surrounding it over and over this week, I'm realizing that I need to become a whole lot more like Elizabeth. But before we talk about that, I want to introduce you to her first. Some of you know Elizabeth well already, and hopefully her name is not a new one to you. Hopefully it's familiar. This is a passage that is often read in Advent series and in Christmas stories, even sung about in certain songs. And some of you actually share her name. One of my sisters has the middle name of Elizabeth. This is such a cool person to be named after. So maybe you who are named Elizabeth have a special kindred or relationship with her already. But for those who don't, or those who are still relatively unfamiliar with her, Elizabeth was the wife of Zechariah the priest. The two, the scriptures say, this is the Bible's language, not mine, says that they were well along in years. That's such a nice way to say they were old. Well along in years. But throughout their years together, boy, you know, they had a lot of ups and downs. In fact, they had struggled throughout their entire time together to have any children. She was barren, the scriptures say. And I'm just going to like pause there for a second. I don't want to go over this too quickly because I am like just grateful that the scriptures include so many people who struggle with infertility. People like Elizabeth and Zechariah, Abraham and Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca, and Hannah. Throughout both Testaments, woman after woman, couple after couple, all give witness and a voice to what so many struggle with in secret. The Bible, it seems, is far more comfortable to talk about that which makes so many of us uncomfortable. Maybe one aspect of welcoming God well this Christmas is learning how to become more comfortable with uncomfortable truths, to lean in instead of away. When a conversation turns the corner toward that which makes our pulse quicken. Maybe welcoming God well happens when we welcome one another well in all of our honest mess with all of our very real struggles. Maybe welcoming God well could look like listening to someone in ways that give permission for them to share freely without the threat of being judged, looked down upon, or have their story shared without their permission. I wonder if that could be a way we might practice welcoming God well in Christmas and throughout the year. In the moments that make us uncomfortable, in the conversations that we'd rather avoid, it is in those places where we would do well to take a deep breath, say a prayer, and lean in. Because the struggles that Elizabeth and Zechariah went through are many of the same struggles that many of us and many people we know struggle with as well. Infertility, miscarriages, the struggle and tension within a marriage and within oneself that we don't typically share aloud and all too regularly suffer with in silence. What a gift it is then to have the Bible that speaks into and names for us many of the same struggles we ourselves wrestle with. You see, Elizabeth did struggle, but she was also really, really good at leaning into those struggling moments and uncomfortable situations. And she stands in stark contrast to her husband, Zechariah. He has one of my favorite, like, small passages or verses about him in the whole Bible. As our passage tells us, Elizabeth did end up getting pregnant. And like Mary and Joseph, Elizabeth and Zechariah were visited by the angel Gabriel, who told them that Elizabeth would give birth to a baby. But unlike Elizabeth, Mary, and Joseph, Zechariah, the priest, mind you, the priest, did not believe it. He was skeptical. And so, this is my favorite part, he became mute for 9 months. I've got like a really twisted sense of humor that I'm sure most of you know by now. But I just think that this is a hilarious like consequence. Like, the dude couldn't talk, and then according to some people, he couldn't even hear for 9 months. And maybe that was God's present to Elizabeth. I don't know. I just love it. I just think God's got this hilarious sense of humor that we're going to like make this priest. I hope this is my non-sanctified imagination. I hope that Elizabeth would just sit there some days with like the smuggest smile on her face and just stare at her husband noddingly. I'm sorry. I've already had a fair amount of coffee today. But the thing about Zechariah is that he like once again points us to this annoying thing that happens throughout the Bible, that those who should get it, those who shouldn't be skeptical, those who should be open to God doing amazing things in this world, aren't. He doesn't get it. He's not open. He does not think that God could show up or act in the ways that God does because he has spent so much of his life learning who God is. It's a box for those who are listening online. Put God in this box. See, I don't know about you, but boy, if you're not like regularly humbled by the scriptures, then you're just being like way too easy on yourself. Because time and again, those who should understand don't, and those who shouldn't are precisely the ones who do. It makes me wonder regularly, in what ways have I put God into a box? In what ways am I assuming God should act? And then when God is acting in people and in places and ways that God, I think, should not, when am I closing myself off to the divine activity of God in my life and in this world? God moves in ways that sometimes I don't think God should. And so I'm reminded by people like Zechariah that I still need to unlearn some things I've been taught by well-intentioned people and by really good professors and pastors and churches. There are just some things that I need to unlearn at Christmas time. And Elizabeth helps me see this the most because she is the one who has fresh eyes that see, ears that hear, and a heart and mind that is still malleable enough to be reshaped. What a gift to ask for at Christmas time. To ask God, especially in these next 48 hours, to have new eyes to see, new ears to hear, and a heart and mind that are still capable of being reshaped. Can God still surprise you with Christmas? See, Elizabeth was one such person who believed that God could do something new, and was one whose spiritual imagination was big enough to believe that there was still room in this world for God to work in more than one way. For she was 6 months further along than her relative Mary. Now, you probably have heard that Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. The scriptures don't say that. They do say that they were relatives. They could have been cousins, or Elizabeth could have been Mary's aunt. I don't know. The scriptures aren't particular about that, but they do say they're related, and the two probably knew one another well. And then, of course, they both were graced with divine pregnancies. One was old, the other young, but neither were too much of either to be blessed by the God of Christmas. Instead, Mary found in Elizabeth one who welcomed both herself and the one she carried well. Both of these women were blessed with the gift of new life, and there was enough room within Elizabeth's heart for there to be enough joy for both of them. This is an important reminder. Notice her reaction to when she meets Mary for the first time. How much joy just erupts and overflows from her life into Mary's. It's not, you've got a divine pregnancy too. what about my divine pregnancy? Like, it's none of this like catty comparison stuff. It's almost like this Advent wreath. When Pastor Kevin lights the light from one candle and then goes on to light four more, it doesn't suck the light away from one to give it to another. There's enough light for all the candles to be lit fully. And this might seem trite or trivial until I think about the ways that in my life, I sometimes like to blow someone else's candle out in order that mine might shine brighter. You know, sometimes I get to that comparison game where I think, well, I'm better than such and such. Or, oh, look what they got. Well, what about my thing or my accolades or my accomplishments or my stuff? You ever get like that? See, there could be a sneaking temptation to do the opposite of what Elizabeth did. To put someone else down or to belittle someone else's experience in order to validate or lift up our own. It's a challenge for us to be like Elizabeth. It's far easier to be like Herod, who, upon hearing the same good news, immediately thought about protecting his own kingdom. It's easier to be like Herod, but we are all called to become more like Elizabeth. Who has me thinking about our own church here in the life of Fishers United Methodist? One of the ways that I have seen God at work in the past several months is the ways that God is birthing new life in both our traditional worship services and also in our contemporary service. That in this church family, in one church, there can be two candles that shine brightly, or three as the case may be. That in this one church family, there's enough joy to celebrate the new life that's being granted in the traditional services and also the new life that's being born in the contemporary service. That in this one church, there is enough joy that we can celebrate the many different ways God is at work in our lives and in someone else's. And one of the cool things about being a Christian who isn't trying to compete with other churches is that I can also be glad for other churches in our community that are also doing wonderful work, that are also making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, that are also proclaiming the good news of Christmas. See, to become more like Elizabeth is to celebrate all the ways and all the places and all the people that God is working in and through to transform this world with the kingdom of God. Well, friends, I really like this passage, and I've got three more pages I could preach to you on. But I'm going to close with this. See, one of the greatest lessons we might take away from Elizabeth and Mary's relationship is the way that they had one another. That Mary's was a life into whom Elizabeth poured her own. And that Elizabeth was one with whom Mary found space, welcome, life, and love. Dear ones, who is your Elizabeth? In whom can you confide? Is there a person in your life that you can sit and be without the threat of being judged, without the risk of having your story retold without your permission? I hope there's someone like that. And I hope that you also have a Mary in your life, that you're intentionally reaching out to someone else and creating for them a space, a place, and a relationship in which they can enjoy the same. Elizabeth was an older mentor and guide for Mary. She was a source of encouragement, wisdom, and perspective. All of us need an Elizabeth in our lives, an older person who understands, who can guide and encourage and affirm us. And similarly, we all need to be an Elizabeth for a younger person, to encourage those around us, to speak into someone's life, "I'll always be in your corner." We do that because that is what God has done for us. As we think about how we are going to be welcoming God this Christmas, we remember that God doesn't just welcome us, but this is the God who comes to us wherever we find ourselves this year, physically, emotionally, spiritually. This God of Christmas, this is the God of Christmas who gave up the heavenly throne to be born in a manger. This is the God of Christmas whose birth was proclaimed to both the shepherds and the magi. This is the God of Christmas who comes to young and old alike, who lifts up the lowly and disrupts the stability of our lives in the hope of making more room for his. This is the God of Christmas, the Savior who has been born to us, Christ the Lord. Why are we so favored? The answer is simple. Because we are loved. You are loved. Merry Christmas.